this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Good evening. It's great to see you. How many of you are students? Okay, wow, it feels like the old Shofar days. Shofar started in 1992. Which year did you join, Philip? Philip joined 99. I joined 95. I was a student in 1995. Who of you were born in 1995? Well done! You may call me Auntie if you want to. I don't mind that anymore. I made a peace with it. I am 40 years old. That is the truth. Philip just told the 4 o'clock people that I look 22. Did you mean that? Thank you, Philip. And I have to tell you that I have 2 friends who each have 7 children, 2 good friends, and I'm not an alien. I only have 5. They've got 7. So who of you know anybody with 7 children? See? Goes to show. It's not the same people. We do not share friends. It's not the same people. Okay? So I'm not that strange. There's another pastor's couple from Shofar in London, and they also have 5 children. Their names are Sally and David. So I'm always introduced by my children, and I do not mind at all. They are the best gift that God could ever give. We had an amazing time at the Awaken Conference. Can we have a better hoo-hoo than we had just now? On count of 3. Thanks, ladies. I didn't even have to count. Yes, we had an amazing weekend. We had the Awaken in Stellenbosch. And Elke and I and Lorita looked at each other as we got on the plane to come to Joburg. And we said to each other, can it be so amazing again? And we decided, yes, it could, it can. And I think perhaps it might have been better. Yeah. mostly, actually only, entirely, because God decided to really come. He was really there. He really blessed us just with His love and His presence. And where there are only women, you are allowed to cry as much as you want to. So we did exactly that. I preached in Standerton this morning, and I cried more than anything else. And the people were very, very gracious with me. And they brought some tissues, and they were gracious with me. But that is what women do when God really touches them. So men, just, if you don't understand it, just enjoy it. Just embrace it. This is who we are. This is what we do. We need to do it. We need to do it quite often. Allow us to. Some of the ladies, they cried so much, I realized that they never allow themselves to cry. And now they were allowed to cry, and they really cried. And I think that was such a good thing. So since we are still in the Awaken weekend, it is the end. And as sad as we are probably quite relieved as well. We've got one more coming in Namibia. We will still speak on the beautiful story a little bit more. And I want to read the theme scripture of the conference. It is from Psalm 29, verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name, and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And I had to ask myself, what is the beauty of holiness? And I was speaking at the conference the last session, and my topic was the beauty of holiness. And I started to prepare, and I started to go to the book of Leviticus, because it's all about holiness. And I was very, very, very impressed with myself that I'm taking on the book of Leviticus. Who of you have read through it? Wow. Philip, you are doing very well with this church. They read Leviticus. Pardon? Oh, my word. Okay, then I do take my hat off to whoever developed it. Sean. So I tried Leviticus. I tried very hard. I had lots of information apart from the Bible. I was very ready about 3 weeks before Awaken. And the Wednesday evening before the first Awaken was started the Friday, I was in tears at home, also a bit tired and so on and so on. And I said to my husband, I do not understand Leviticus at all. And I do not have much more time, and I am tired, and can you please just tell me what to preach? I don't know what to say about holiness. Can you please just help me? So he gave me an excellent sermon on holiness right then and there. He's a very good preacher. He can work a sermon out in no time. And he gave me like a 10-minute summary of an excellent sermon, and I said to him, that is absolutely fantastic for men's camp. There's not a woman in that place who will understand or relate to much that you have said, because you're such a manly man. You know, there's like this you have like the middle, and then you have the very, the what do you call it, the pendulum. So here's like the manliest man, and there's sort of the man that is more in touch with his emotions. My husband is like there. He's the manliest man. So he had a very manly sermon. So I did eventually got my own thing from God to say, which was extremely different from his version. But I do want to speak about, carry on a little bit just for all time's sake this evening, and speak about holiness. And just asking the question, what is holiness? And I always remember when I grew up in a very traditional church, and the minister was very strict. And he was not the type that would make any kind of joke. He's not joking from the pulpit like we are doing here right now. And I remember the way that I experienced God as a child growing up, that God is holy. And I remember the minister often quoting from the Leviticus, and he would say, God says, be holy as I am holy. And I was thinking, oh my word, I better be holy. Otherwise, I'm surely going to die. Lightning is going to strike, and I need to be holy. And I did not know how to be holy. And I realized that I grew up thinking that holiness simply is the absence of sin. And every morning when you wake up, you must determine not to sin, right? And then you can score yourself at the end of the day 7 out of 10 or 4 out of 10, and you can sort of score your holiness. I tried that. It was very difficult. And then I truly became born again at the end of 1995, and I truly met my Creator. And slowly but surely, I started to discover that the holiness of God is indeed the most beautiful thing. And in trying to prepare a sermon on it and just defining holiness, I read through every dictionary and I Googled every website on holiness, and I could not find a satisfactory description or definition for the holiness of God, because it cannot actually be described. And when we look at God, God existed before sin existed, because there was a day and a time when sin happened, and God existed. There is no time with God. I know. If my children cannot understand, if we cannot understand it, how on earth should our children understand it? I try to explain this to them, and they just look at me like, "What on earth are you talking about?" Because they want to know who created God. Anyway, my son said, perhaps the hands disappeared, the hands of God just appeared, and then they made God himself. I know. So, but God existed before sin existed, and his holiness existed before sin existed. And I am so convinced that when God speaks about holiness, he's so much more aware of all that it is apart from the absence of sin. Because holiness is everything about God that we need to become. And it is glorious. And I want to read a scripture from Genesis. Genesis 1 verse 27 and 31. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning came, and it was the sixth day. The word of God says that he created us male and female. Ladies, we are as much created in the image of God. God understands us very well. We are made in his image. And the word says God created male and female in the image of himself. And it was good. It was good. We look at our five children, and they truly are made in our image. They look exactly like us. They walk like us. They talk like us. They act like us because they come from us. And there's nothing as beautiful or few things. Are there any parents here? I know the parents don't come in the evening. There's nothing as precious, I think, to have a child from your own body and from your husband's body, and you look at this child and he grows up in your image. And sometimes our oldest little girl, Mikaela, she's 11 years old, she's just a mini me. And I'm trying. Lorita sits here. Lorita came with me once. Came to me one Sunday. She didn't know me well then. She came. She did the production at Awake, and we all worked together. And she said to me, "Oh my word! I just saw a little girl, and she looks exactly like you, and she acts like you, and she speaks like you. She studied drama." She said, "It must be your child." And I said, "Yes, Lorita, most probably it was Mikaela that you saw, made in our image." And we look at her and we can truly say it is good. And God looks at us and he says, "I made you in my image and it was good." And I want you to go home and look in the mirror and say, "It is good." Some of us should avoid the mirror. We do it too often. But some of us should go to the mirror and just proclaim the word of God over ourselves. Some of the ladies should like look at their bodies, you know, and turn every way and like turn like this and just proclaim the word of God over their bodies. Because he made us in his image and he said, "It is good." And he said, "I want you, with this body that I have given you, I want you to become holy as I am holy." And it will be the most beautiful thing once you discover it. I want to read another scripture from Matthew 7, verse 37. The people spoke about Jesus, and they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well." When Jesus was walking this earth, the people spoke about him. And when they spoke, they said, "Everything that he does is good. It is well. It is amazing. It is magnificent. It is glorious. Whenever he touches somebody, they heal. Whenever he makes eye contact with somebody, they change. Whenever he would reach out to somebody, they would become a different person." Even Zacchaeus in the tree, who was a thief and a bad person, Jesus even looks at him and he says, "Come down. I know you are there. I'm not stupid. You are there in the tree. Come down because I need to eat with you. Because you are going to change in my presence. In my presence, you are going to change." And God says, "Be holy as I am holy, because in your presence, people will change." Can I say that again? Because in your presence, people will change if you have the holiness of God in your life. The word says in Ephesians 2 verse 10, one of my favorite scriptures, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." For me, the most amazing thing about the Awaken Conference is, and I'm sure the ladies will agree with me, when we arrive there, they were well prepared for us. It was beautiful. It was ready. Everything was ready. There was a gift for everyone. There was a word from God for everyone. Everything was ready for the ladies to come. It was prepared in advance. Why? Because we expected you to come. We were waiting for you to come. We were excited for you to come. And God says, "I have picked you, and I want to separate you unto myself. And I want you to find this purpose that I have for you, that I have prepared for you when you were still in your mother's womb." That is why we dedicate babies here in church, because we know there is a purpose for this child, and we pray that he or she will find that purpose. We see Moses, who grew up the child of a king, one of the most important, most wealthy children in the kingdom was Moses, grew up the son of Pharaoh, and then his true identity becomes known, and he commits a murder, and he runs away, and he goes from a prince to a shepherd. And Moses is now in the desert. He's just a shepherd. And he marries and he has some children. And then one day, as he was just there doing the work of a shepherd, one fine day, God appears to him in the burning bush. And God says, "Moses, all of this was planned and purposed because I have separated you. But you had no idea." He says, "But Moses, quickly take off your shoes, because where you are standing now, it just became holy ground, because I am calling you." And Moses said, "No ways. I'm not going to do that. I am not going to speak to the Pharaoh. I cannot speak. You will not do this to me. I had a very bad experience the last time I was there. I am not going back to that bad experience. I'm not going there. Leave me out of it." And God became angry. But God is very patient. And God says, "I will give you your brother Aaron, but go, you will go. I will force you. I will force you. I will force you out of your comfort zone, because it's holy ground now. And I have called you. I've called you from the very mundane desert sheep overseeing to take my nation out of slavery." And here we are all sitting, and I think most of us would perceive ourselves as fairly ordinary. Ordinary job, ordinary life. And we hear all these magnificent things about the plans of God, and no eye has seen and no mind has conceived, and we don't always know what all of this is about because my life is just ordinary. But I really want to say this evening that it is in the ordinary that God wants to establish the extraordinary. Can I say that again? It is in the ordinary that God wants to establish the extraordinary, because he wants to shape us and he wants to mold us. And it does not happen in spectacular and glamour and easy and lacquer. It happens in the day-to-day, watching the sheep, having to get up, just having to do it. And God says, "Declare there where you are, declare it holy ground." I remember when I had baby after baby after baby after baby after baby. And Sometimes I would be so overwhelmed with my mundane life of changing nappies and breastfeeding and dirty dishes and a house that is just chaos. And sometimes all the kids would scream at the same time and it was just too much. And I would go and I would sit on the kitchen floor. I don't know why the kitchen, but anyway, that's what I used to do. I would sit on the kitchen. Perhaps I felt like a spusterki. What is her name in English? Cinderella. You know, I just sat there on the kitchen floor having so much to do. And I would call on the name of the Lord. I would call out to God. I would say, God, can you see this, God? God, can you see this is just so mundane and this is just so overwhelming and this is just so going nowhere. God, can you see my ordinary is very challenging? And I would declare my ordinary holy ground. I would declare it holy ground. And I would say, God, will you mold me and will you shape me and will you use this? Because I know that I know that I know that you have separated me, that you have called me. And I really want to say that, as I just quoted, the Word of God says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived, but by His Spirit, God has revealed unto us. And as we are sitting here, God says, I want to take your ordinary and I want to turn it into extraordinary. Because when you pursue my holiness, when you desire me with all of your heart, and it will involve a lot of sacrifice and it will involve a lot of pain. It always does. Because God can only work with us when we are on our knees. God can only work with us when we are on our knees. And when He does, it becomes extraordinary. I want to read another scripture. From Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. I read the scripture and I said, God, what is the shelter? And how do I find it? And how do I remain there in the shelter where I am covered by your wing and where I am in your shadow and where I am safe and where I can operate from? And I just had a picture in my mind of one time when Mikaela, that I just spoke about, our oldest child, our little girl, not so little anymore, when she came to us and she wanted to sleep, she wanted to have a sleepover with a friend that we did not know at all. We do not know the parents at all. And she said, can I please go? And she was so excited and she was very much wanting to go. And I just remember how we looked at her and how her dad, my husband, her father, her protector, her provider, and I, her nurturer, how we said to her, you cannot go because we do not know these people at all. And we do not know whether you will be safe. And we do not know what you will be exposed to. And as much as you want to go, as important as it is to you, us as your parents will protect you from this. And we will keep you in the shelter. And she could choose to go, I suppose. She's 11. She could take the remote and open the gate and go. But she would remove herself from the shelter. And see, God says, as long as you stay here where I tell you to be, as long as you do things my way, God is very serious about doing things His way. And most of our tears and most of our suffering is because we do not want to surrender to it. just like children. We have our little boy, Caleb. He's a bit older now, he's 4. But when he was smaller, he wouldn't want to sit in his car seat. And I would strap him into his car seat, and he would simply scream and scream and kick and scream. And in his 3-year-old mind, he had no understanding why he had to be in the seat. But I, as the protector and the nurturer and the provider, I know that he has to be in his car seat on a dangerous road because I have the bigger picture. And God will show us through his word. It is not rocket science. Through his word, God will show us how to do things and how to remain in the shelter. And he never moves away from the shelter. He's always there where he wants to teach us about his holiness. But we will often remove ourselves from the shelter, which is what we do, like the lost son. But he always welcomes us back. But if we can just learn to remain there in the safe place where he can have us. You know, I need my children. I need them here with me so that I can teach them. I need them here so that I can have eye contact, so that I can listen, and so that I can teach them and train them. God says, I need you here with me. I need you near so that I can teach you and train you and show you the way of holiness. Because then you are able to bring other people into the shelter. And they can experience the freedom and the love and the fullness of who and what God is. And I know with all of my heart that God has planned for each and every one of us a set of good works. And he says, I want you to walk in it. And I want to teach you and guide you and show you. But you cannot do it if you do not choose to trust me completely and absolutely and utterly. God wants everything from us. He wants all of us. He wants all of us. He wants all of us. And to remain in that place, he says, can you trust me even when nothing makes sense? Even if you have no understanding, even if you are so confused, can you still just trust me? The word says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he will straighten your path. And as long as we remain in our comfort zone, if Moses remained in his comfort zone, he would never get out of the desert. He would never see the Red Sea open. He would never be face to face with God. He would never be called the friend of God. He had to make that journey. He had to make that journey. And God says, I'm wanting to draw you out. The whole idea of separating you. He says, I'm wanting to draw you out to come and do this journey with me. And yes, you might walk in the valley of the shadow of death. It is right there in the Bible. But when you do, I will be there with you. I will be right there next to you. But take courage. The very attractive young men were singing to us at the conference, show me how big your brave is. God says to Joshua, be very strong and be very courageous. I looked at the ladies at the conference. I saw the same thing in Stellenbosch. Some of them really do not enjoy public speaking. And now they have to make an announcement at the conference. And the conference announcements are not short. It's like an essay. And I look at them backstage. Some of them are so nervous they want to vomit.
I look at the couch ladies who are not public speakers by trade. I see they are so nervous, they actually really want to vomit. And I see them come onto the stage. I see the fear. In Stellenbosch, there were 1,200 ladies. You looked like this. And then you saw all of them. And I see the intimidation, and I see them on stage, and their hands are shaking, and their voices are shaking, and then they take courage, and they speak. And it is well, they do it well. And God says, I want you to come. I want you to make that first step. I want you to take courage. And for some of us, we don't even know. I remember once I preached about calling and separation, and this one young lady came to me and she said, I don't even have any cooking clue where to begin about my calling. I don't even know what it means. I get that for many of us. But there's one thing that is needed, and that is a heart's desire for God more than anything else. And the only way we develop that is through pain and sacrifice. We only desire God with all of our hearts when we become desperate. Have you noticed that? We only ever desire God with all of our hearts when the pain is too much to bear. When we reach that moment, when we say, God, this is it. I cannot. I am dying. It is the end. I cannot do it anymore. God says, aha, finally, now we can begin. Now we can begin with you. Now I can work with you. Because look at you. You are laying prostrate on the floor. You are very humble. Now I can do anything with you. While you were standing up, I couldn't do much. And the most beautiful thing of the conference this weekend was just to experience the fact that God says, I want your story. One of the other speakers, Debbie Kirsten, she said, don't make small what God wants to make large. Don't make small what God wants to make large. And God is looking at our lives and he says, I want to make it large. I want you to roar like the Lion of Judah. I want you to step out. And even if your knees are shaking and your voice is shaking, even if you want to vomit, that is fine as long as you do it. As long as you do it. Because my supernatural strength will come over you. You will not believe it. You will not believe what you are able to do when you trust God. But it is very challenging. That is why most people never step out. That is why most people never step out. That is why we have so many churches with so many people who never goes on any adventure with God. God says, I want to take you on an adventure. You know, when I go to bed in the evening, having worked, having done the housework and having done the children, and I also work at the church, and I go to bed exhausted every evening, I feel like I have slain a giant every evening. If I did everything that I had to do, most evening, I have no choice. And then I wake up the next morning, somebody sent me the funniest thing the other day. They said, the five, do you know what the stages of grief are? Those who study psychology will know exactly. They said the five stages of waking up: anger, depression, denial. And I don't know what the fourth one was. And the last one is acceptance. I wake up in the morning and there Goliath is standing again. And I have to slay him again. But I know this is my adventure. And I will do it wholeheartedly. And sometimes there's a break, like coming to Joburg. It's such a break. It feels like a bit of a holiday, actually. God wants to give us such adventures. Doesn't matter how old we are. Doesn't matter what you've done in your past. Doesn't matter what is lying in your present at the moment. God says, I just need you to trust in me. There's so much to do. There's so little time. There is so much to do. The earthquakes and the floods and the disasters are striking all over the world. There is so much to do. there is so little time. And God says, are you with me? Because it is not going to be boring, and it is not going to be easy, and it is not going to be comfortable. But man, it is going to be so adventurous. Can we stand? I just want to read one more scripture from Psalm 91. Psalm 91 verse 4. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. Our strong Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org. or find us on facebook.com/ShofarPretoria.